Well, I'm thankful that the Lord made a way for me to have life. I'm glad that I have hope. And it's based on something that is sure, and we can count on it.
I have a very important lesson tonight. It's a continuation of something we started some time back. I've written on the board, responding to differences. Desire your attention this evening. This lesson deals with where we live. Gets right down to where we live each day throughout the course of our lives. And we've spent some time, a number of Sundays ago, considering our worship services. In fact, we spent maybe four services. And we talked about what we do in our services and our part to play in it. Talked about singing and praying and being present. Everybody has a place when we come to church. I don't think the Lord has a spot where He just wants us to come and be invisible before Him or in our worship. It's not that we all have something to vocally say, but we all come and we're present. And when we bring a spirit of worship to the Lord, coming into His house, there is nothing like being in a place where everyone that comes in, their hearts are lifted up to the Lord in a spirit of worship. I believe the Lord honors that. And we also spent some time on preaching, teaching, and exhorting, and what that involves, a little bit about that. And as a follow-up to that, after that, we had one lesson, started it, regarding a situation that all of us face in life, sometimes during preaching, teaching, and exhorting, sometimes not during preaching, teaching, and exhorting, many times not, just while we live life, and that is, we come face to face with a teaching or something that is presented that is different from what we have believed up until that point. Maybe it's something that is taught that is contrary to the way that we are currently living. Maybe we've never heard it before. But we all come across those times in life. And if we're not careful, it can be a seed that falls by the wayside, because we've been talking also about the sower that sowed seed. And the first one was by the wayside, which the seed was sown, but it wasn't understood. Because it wasn't understood, the fowls came and stole it away, and there it went. When the Lord brings us truth, whether or not I understand it or not, if He sees fit to send it my way, I don't want the fowls of the air to steal it away. I want to protect the seed. I want to protect the truth. And I want to ask the Lord to help me with it. And so we encounter places in life where there are things we don't understand. And yes, this happens to young people, children and young people. When you're growing up in the home and you're beginning to learn, sometimes your parents will teach something or give instruction and you look at it and you think, well, that doesn't make any sense to me. And so you have to deal with that. So yes, that happens in the home, and the Lord set it up. His design is that there are good, godly, God-fearing parents who have given their lives to understanding the Word of the Lord, who then can teach it to their children so that they can then do it with their children and be a light to the world. And so it's not always easy when you're growing up and you're learning to encounter teaching and instruction that's different from what you would like it to be and what you think it is. But you know something? It's not just for children and young people. This applies to adults too. This applies to all of us. All of us come to places in life where the Lord has something to show us that we have not before recognized. I haven't arrived. I haven't spiritually arrived. I don't think anyone here has either. And the Lord speaks to us through His Spirit. Sometimes we can be all by ourselves. And the Lord will speak something to us that is different from where we have been up until that point. Sometimes He speaks to us through His Word. Sometimes He speaks to us through teaching, preaching, and exhorting. We spent a good amount of time the first time around, and I guess we'll call it part one, discussing the situation that the Jews found themselves in when Jesus came. While they were under the old law, Christ came to bring the fullness of light. But the Jews, their values and their beliefs, they had been so trained from children to believe and observe certain things that when Christ Himself came and brought the fullness of light, they had a very difficult time embracing that, didn't they? It was hard for them. And I don't think it was just, you know, we read about the scribes and the Pharisees and you know, their attitudes weren't right, and the Lord called that out. But the whole Jewish nation had honest people that were endeavoring to live right, do what was right, follow the law. And they had been so trained from youth that when Jesus came and He said, now the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And here's truth, here's light, here's the fullness of it. They were so entrenched, and the Lord knew that, and He was patient with them, but they were so entrenched with what they had been taught that they were holding things for religious purposes that was actually contrary to the law of God. Remember? We went over some of that the first time. In fact, the Lord called them out on it. They said, well, why do you do this? And the Lord said, well, you by your own tradition is violating the law over here, and yet they were holding it for religious purposes, and in doing so, we're actually violating the law of God Himself. And And then having a real struggle accepting what Jesus brought. And I'd like to pause here for a moment and say this. Our consciences con science. Our consciences are very powerful things. And when trained according to the Word of God, our consciences are of such benefit. When we grow up and they're trained and they're taught according to the Word of the Lord. But when our consciences are trained outside of the Word of the Lord, your conscience is still real and it's still powerful. And if you're taught as the Jews were, they were taught the law and the Lord was just trying to bring the fullness of the law, but there's other people in the world that are taught things from children up, things that are not truth, far from truth, and yet from little they're taught this is right, this is right, this is wrong. And it's hard. It's hard to move away from your conscience. And so when your conscience is trained in a way that is outside of the Word of the Lord, it can cause real challenges then when the Lord comes and the light of His Word comes and shines light in your pathway to make an adjustment, and yet your conscience is telling you something different. You following me so far? Very important subject tonight. An especially difficult trap is when we can go too far on the conservative or fanatical side. We, all of us, most of us here, we've grown up and we've heard teaching and preaching, and I preach and teach, and I believe in this, the dangers of compromising the Word of the Lord. And often when we use those terms, we speak of becoming more like the world, letting down truth to the point where we become loose and we allow sin to come into our lives that mimics what we see out in the world. And rightly so, we teach and warn against that. Be careful. Don't compromise truth. Watch out for worldliness. It's a trap. And it's taught often, and it should be. But something that isn't taught as much as that, perhaps, is when you veer to the other side. When we go way over to the way conservative or fanatical side, and perhaps our consciences are taught and trained from youth something that is too far to the right, that's not maybe biblically based. And then the Lord comes in His mercy, shines the light of truth on it, and you can almost feel like you're letting down on truth when you come back to center. Y'all still with me? Does this make sense? Because if you're holding something for a religious purpose, for the reason that you want to serve God, you're trying to do what's right. You want Him to be pleased with your life. And so you're way over here to the right doing these things for the Lord, and the Lord comes along and He says, light and truth is not exactly where you are. It's over here, more to the center. When we begin to move to the center, it feels like we're letting down on the standard. We feel like we're loosening up. And that is a particularly dangerous place to be. And a difficult place to be. And the enemy uses that. He uses it to try to put good, well-meaning people in bondage. And the other thing that can happen is that he can begin to introduce pride. I mean, if I just keep going farther and farther and farther to the right, isn't that more and more and more spiritual? It's not. It's not more spiritual. And so then the enemy is able to really tie us up if we're not careful, to where we'll feel like we're letting down on the standard if we move back to center. We put ourselves in bondage and begin to put other people in bondage if we're not really careful on these things. And it bothers our conscience, and we feel like we're almost doing something wrong, and the enemy just, he has a heyday with it. Then he maybe starts to introduce some pride. It's like, well, you know, I live over here. I don't do this, and I don't do this, and I don't do this, and I do these things, and these, you know, folks over here, they don't live that careful of a life, and we can start feeling like we're pretty spiritual. The enemy works that way. Now, we may not say that out loud, but down in our hearts, we can start feeling like we're a little bit more righteous. And the enemy knows that if he can get us too far to the right, he's satisfied for us to go either way. Take us to the left, take us to the right. Both ways are outside of the word of the Lord. I'd like to consider a real life event. A safe place, folks, just as a note, is the word of the Lord. When we get outside of the word of the Lord, we put ourselves at risk. May God help us to always come back. What doth the word of the Lord say? And I want, oh, I so want this lesson not to be my opinion. I want it to be according to the word of the Lord. So I want to read something that brings out this example very well in the 13th chapter of John and the 6th verse. It said, "Then cometh he," this is Jesus, "to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part of me." So what did Simon Peter do? Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, okay, if that's the case, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. If that's what it takes to be accepted by you, let's not just do the feet, Lord. Let's just go ahead and take it further, and let's go just wash my hands and my head too. And Jesus said, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. You don't need to wash your head and your hands in this observance that the Lord was instituting at that time to be clean. Jesus said, I just said, wash your feet. Don't need to wash your hands and your head. But if the Lord would not have pulled Peter back, or maybe he wasn't there, And we just read where the Lord said, you need to wash each other's feet, otherwise I won't have any part of you. In his zeal, he could have begun to think, well, if the feet's necessary and that makes me part of the Lord, then it seems like it would be a even better thing to have my hands and my feet washed too. Isn't that the way we think? But there's danger in that, because you see, the Lord, he didn't say that. Folks, more is not better when you're trying to do more than what the Lord has asked us to do. That's not better any more than less is better. The Lord is calling us to live according to his word. And he said, and we'll get to it, don't add to what I've said. Don't take away from what I said. And yet, in our zeal sometimes, we can so quickly, we want to do right. We want to serve the Lord. And he says, I want you to, you need to wash each other's feet. Well, let's just do the whole thing. But that's not what he said. And he pulled Peter back. And I think about this, I think about an air-to-fuel ratio. Those of you that work with cars, have worked with cars, for your car to run and be powerful, the air-to-fuel mixture has to be right. And if you've played a little bit with cars, you find out that if you say, well, I'll give it more air. I'll put a bigger air filter on there and start to introduce more air. And you might observe that there's a little bit of performance that you get out of that. You think, well, more must just be better. And then what happens is you start going down this path of just pouring the air to it. Pretty soon your car starts sputtering and no power. Same with fuel. You say, give it more fuel. You've heard that term? Pour the fuel to it. More fuel, the better it is. But then you get out of balance. And your fuel to air mixture is not right, and you lose power. Folks, the same thing can happen to us spiritually. The Lord has given us something that is so balanced. Truth is balanced. He says, this is the way, walk ye in it. This is the hill I want you to climb. He didn't say, go run up that steeper mountain over there. He said, this is the way, walk ye in it. And we as Christians, that we don't want to let our own thoughts get in the way. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And the scripture says that every man is right in his own eyes. But that doesn't mean that it's right in God's eyes. There is a way that seemeth right unto man. Remember that verse? But what did it say? The end thereof are the ways of what? Of death. And the fear of the Lord, I want us to be able to be strong Christians who are equipped to know how to handle things that we hear. And it might be teaching, preaching, exhorting. It might be something else out in the world that we come across. And know how to handle things that are at variance with what our current values and beliefs are, so that we handle it in a biblical, godly manner, so that we get where the Lord wants us to get. Be careful about taking it upon yourself to interpolate. I didn't say interpret, I said interpolate, or extrapolate the word of the Lord. Be careful with that. And I want to I'll give an example. To the math students that like graphs. This is a graph. If there are data points like this to the math students, and there's data points over here, and we are asked, what does this area look like? When you interpolate data, it means you look at what's over here, and then you look at what's over here, and it looks like it should be something like that, and so we say, well, this data must look like that. We do that in math. People do that in statistics. We do that to try to predict. But when it comes to the word of the Lord, if the Lord says, this is the way, walk ye in it, and this is the way, walk ye in it, we need to be really, really careful about then saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When he didn't say that, he said this, and he said this. And extrapolating means that if you have data points that go like this, that we look at it and we say, well, if this is going like this, then it must go like this. That looks like that's the way it's going, right? And so we find the truth in the word of the Lord, and the Lord says, here's the way, walk ye in it. And he establishes this. And we look at it and we say, well, if that's the word of the Lord, then this must be even more the word of the Lord. Must be even better. That's the direction it's going. Does it make sense? We need to be real careful about this. Saying, well, this is what the Bible says, and since it says this, it looks like it must mean this. And actually, in math, you can have equations where this comes down and goes right back up. You go, oh, I didn't know that. I thought it went here. And that's the problem, I thought. I went out on my own. Does this mean that when we go to the scripture that unless it says, thou shalt not do thus and so, that it's good, you can do anything you want as long as the Bible doesn't specifically call that out? That's not what I'm saying. Don't get me wrong. And we're not going to finish tonight, but this preface to this lesson on, well, then what do we do? When we encounter this space, how does the Bible say that we should handle it? This is where we live. I want to know how to handle this space in a way that the Word teaches me to handle it, as opposed to me just automatically saying, oh, it looks like the Lord said we need to wash our feet. Must be even better to wash my head and my hands too. The Lord said, no. I didn't say that. I said, do this. And we can cause ourselves so much trouble if we have more zeal than we have knowledge. It doesn't mean that we mean bad by it. Many times people, we want to serve God, we want to do what's right. We don't want to do anything that would displease the Lord. And we want Him to look upon our lives with favor. And so, like Peter, when we get some light and read some truth, In our zeal, we can start thinking, well, then maybe it also must mean this and this and this and this. And we start taking these things on in our lives, and we start taking things on that the Lord never said we needed to take on, and we start moving way over here to the right, and we put ourselves in bondage. We put those that are coming after us in bondage. We begin to do what the Jews did and teach for truth things that the Scripture never taught for truth. Remember, we went over that. The Jews, that is what happened way back. They were given the law of God. And they had the Torah. That's what the Torah was, like the first five books of the Old Testament. But then they also had the Talmud. And they began to interpret the Scriptures and say, well, the law says this, and so this is what our practices are going to be in all of these areas. And over time, these things get passed down, and by the time they got to Jesus, they were practicing things that they said, well, this must be what we're supposed to do because the law said this, and they began worshiping this more than they were worshiping the law of God. And Jesus called them out on it, and he said, you're doing these things, and in the process, you're violating the commandments that I gave you. I don't want to do that. We lose power. When we get out of balance, when our air to fuel mixture gets all out of whack, because in my zeal, I think I just pour the air to it. I start sputtering, and I wonder why I don't have power. I wonder why I start having trouble. And I think, why am I having trouble in my life? Why don't I have power with the Lord? I mean, I'm doing all of these things, and it just seems like the Lord would be pleased with this. But I'm losing power, or maybe we're pouring the fuel to it. And we wonder, what's wrong? What's wrong is that the enemy can draw us out of what doth say the word of the Lord. And we begin putting together our own Talmud and say, well, the Scripture says this, so it must mean this. And the Scripture says this, so it must mean that it looks like this. And if we're not really careful, we can start focusing on this as our standards of fellowship, as truth, as light, and give it more credence, just like they were doing when the Lord said, you are violating the law by your own tradition that they were holding for religious purposes. We have a responsibility to other people. Our children, our brothers and sisters in our congregation, those that are in our sphere of influence. And we want to be a people of God that want to know what doth say the word of the Lord, and then have faith that if I follow what he said, it works. I don't have to customize it. I don't have to change it to make it better and more powerful. Because when I do that, I not only hurt myself, but I put other people in bondage too. Now, this is a big subject, and we're gonna spend more time on it because it's important. This does not mean that there are times where the Spirit of the Lord comes because of an area that I may have in my life. Maybe I have a weakness, and the Lord comes to me by His Spirit, and He reveals to me, Rod, you need to set that aside. That's a problem for you, Rod. You need to set that aside. And the Spirit of the Lord helps me understand that maybe in this space, this is what I need to do so that I can continue to operate according to the Word of the Lord. But when He speaks to me and says, Rod, you need to do this because you got this issue in your life, I can't then take that and go to everybody else and say, this is where you're supposed to be. Because the Lord showed me this is where I'm supposed to be. So you're supposed to be there too. And yet, the Scripture doesn't tell everybody else that they're supposed to be there. The Scripture outlines how we're supposed to live. And when the Lord shows us places in our lives, Rod, you need to back off of this practice. This hobby that you have is taking over your life. It's getting in the way of you being able to give me the time and the space that I need. So I'd like you to set that hobby to the side. But there's nothing sinful about the hobby, but it has become wrong for me because it's getting in the way of this. But it might not be getting in the way for somebody else. So the Lord doesn't tell them that they need to set that hobby to the side or whatever it is. That's just an example. But then I have to be careful that I don't then take that and put it on everybody else and say, well, this is a more spiritual way to take. You shouldn't do that. Because where does it end? What we take on and what we let go, where does it end? It's a dangerous place. This is a safe place. And the Scripture said in the 13th chapter of Proverbs, he that walketh with the wise shall be wise, but he that keepeth company with fools will be destroyed. And it's just a verse that illustrates the fact that we have influence on other people. And we have a responsibility for the influence that we have on other people. And I want to be faithful to those that come after me. I want to be faithful to the congregation here that I stick with what doth say the word of the Lord. And that we not become in bondage to things that we're not supposed to be in bondage to. And that if the Lord does want us to tighten up and move to the right because we're too loose in an area, and the word of the Lord teaches us that, that's what we want to do because we want to follow the word of the Lord. We want to be well equipped to handle and respond in a godly manner. If you hear something, and this is the preface with this whole lesson tonight, is I'd like to have a congregational discussion, not tonight, this is a preface to it, on what does the Bible teach us on how we should handle it if we hear something that goes against what we've believed, what we followed throughout the course of our life, where our values and our beliefs are. And it's not just for the children and the young people. It's for all of us. I don't ever want to get to the place where I feel like, well, I've arrived spiritually. I've grown up this way. I know this way. I got it. That may be a reason why we don't grow as much as the Lord would like us to grow, because we're in a rut and we are satisfied with what we think we already know and the Lord would like to lead us. If I find error in my life, I've lived for the Lord by the grace of God for a long time. But if I find something in my life that I'm holding or that I believe, and the Lord shows me as Jesus showed those that He preached to when He was in the world, and He shows me that you're in error, I want to be humble enough and godly enough to say, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, help me to know how I can best live my life so that it is in accordance with Your word. And I also don't want to be swayed by There's lots of people out there today, and they call them influencers. Podcasters and influencers. And I'm not saying that it's all wrong and sin, but I'm saying this. Be very, very careful. Because they're called influencers for a reason. It's because they influence. And if we're not careful, there are those that are very good at presenting what they say is truth. And they influence people to move away from truth as the word of the Lord doth say. And yet we can get caught up with the influencer as much as the message that they're delivering. And we can get drawn and pulled away from truth. So my exhortation tonight and the message is not, well, we just need to be like a wave that's tossed by the wind, and don't get too secure in anything because you might be wrong. That's not my message. It's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is, let's build our foundation on the word of the Lord and be unmoved in that. And if the Lord shows us that we need to adjust because of the word of the Lord, then I want to adjust. And I want to be strong enough so that all of the influence that is out there today, the influencers, multitudes of them, that I don't get drawn in and begin to give them more and more of my time and my heart and my mind and begin to move away from what doth the word of the Lord say. Well, that's about as far as we probably can go tonight. I don't want to be closed to the teaching of God. I don't want to get to a place in my life where I think I've arrived. I don't want to be in a place where I am unwilling to humble myself and say I was in error, I was wrong, for fear of making it look like somehow I'm less of a person. I am more of a person in the eyes of the Lord if I'm willing to be led by His Spirit and by His Word. We will get ourselves in trouble if we latch on to those things that maybe the Word of the Lord doesn't teach, but then we don't want to give up on it. We begin to bind it on other people. And yet I can't justify it in the Bible, can't point to anything. It's just how I live. We live in a time, folks, adults, where there are many... the young people, and rightly so, they want to know why. They question, why do we do this? Why do we live like this? We should be able to answer the tough questions. We shouldn't shy away from them. I don't want to be a teacher that just says, well, that's just because. That's the way it is. Just do it. Jesus used Scripture. He was light. He was truth. And when our youth is growing up, if we don't give them answers, biblically based answers that are solid, they'll see through it and we'll lose them. I don't want to lose our young people. I don't want the older ones and the adults and the ones that have been around. I don't want us to be in bondage. I don't want us to have spiritual pride. I don't want us to be deceived. I want us to be in the place where we recognize, Lord God Almighty, I need You. I'm desperate for Your Holy Spirit. I'm desperate for the light of God. Lord, help me to find the rock. Help me to stand on it and not be moved. And if, Lord, You see that I begin to move off of the rock and outside of the word of the Lord, help me by Your Holy Spirit to be willing to be led back to the rock. So with that preface, as the Lord gives us opportunity, let's think about, maybe study a little bit, what does the Bible say? What are we taught in the Scripture on how we should handle in a biblical way when something is presented that is different than what we maybe have believed to be true for the course of our lives? Maybe it's inconsistent with what our values and beliefs were, but now it's been taught, or I've read something in the Scripture, and a light goes on, something triggers me, the Spirit of the Lord nudges me, says there's something here, and I look at it, it's like, yeah, but that's outside, that must not be it, and we just run right on the way we've always been going. What does the Scripture teach us on how we should handle and respond to those things? And maybe, Lord willing, another time we'll be able to have an open discussion and dig into the Word of the Lord a little bit, see what the Word of the Lord doth say. I appreciate your attention tonight. I know it was a little bit long. This is important. It's where we live. Our souls are at stake. Our children's souls are at stake. The Lord wants to lead us in truth. We want to follow in truth. Pray for me. I'm desperate for the Lord's help. Amen.